Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, super important episode. Stop what you're doing and listen to every word of this. You are going to love it. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for emailing us. And also get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Can't forget that. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
You guys have heard me talk about MyPillow before. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. You guys know Mike Lindell, and if you want to support Mike Lindell and get a beautiful pillow, very comfy, and you know they won't go flat, you can wash and dry them at any time, then you got to go to MyPillow.com. They're made in America for a limited time, and Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98, regularly $69.98. That's $40 savings. All my pillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listeners tab and use promo code Kirk. You can get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper. So go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. With us today, again, back by popular demand, is Phil Klein. Amistad Project, is that right?
That's right. That's right, Charlie. Great to be with you.
What is going on with the quest that you are undertaking in the 2020 election? This is something that we've had you on to talk about before, and it just seems like it's the number one focus of voters, Phil. I get asked this all the time. Overwhelmingly, it's the number one, two, and three issue from our voters. They say, are we ever going to have functional elections again? Some states seem to be doing the right thing. You guys have lots of lawsuits that you are trying to uncover the truth. First, just tell us what the status of your lawsuits, what's going on there, and how are we doing figuring out what actually happened in the 2020 election?
Well, our lawsuits continue, and they continue aggressively, and we're not doing the best at getting at what happened in 2020. And the reason, remarkably so, Charlie, as we've discussed in the past, is you have election officials who are refusing to be transparent in the election. And as I mentioned previously, you know, I've never investigated somebody who had evidence of their innocence who didn't want me to see it, or investigated somebody who had evidence of their guilt who wanted me to see it. So there's a reason why all of these roadblocks, from election officials to mainstream media, to prevent any serious look at elections, which must be transparent. Now, here's what we do know. This is what we know about 2020. It was the most lawless election in United States history. What I mean by that is local officials unilaterally, many of them funded with hundreds of millions of dollars from the left, decided they weren't going to follow state laws. That happened in all of the urban core of the swing states where Mark Zuckerberg's money hit. Over $400 million, Zuckerberg alone gave more money than the federal government appropriated for the election in 2020. And those funds came in and told those officials how they were going to run the election. So we had a billionaire in the counting room paying for the election judges, paying for the machines, paying for the way that elections were going to be operated. Most of the time in those areas, contrary to many state laws, and blue state governors used COVID fear to justify their violation of state law. So we had ballot harvesters. We had these consolidated counting centers where actually in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Charlie, the election clerk, the person who is charged by law to run the election, was moved out of the way by the mayor of Green Bay, who teamed up with a couple of other mayors, and they brought in a leftist group and turned over the room, the keys to the counting room, to a representative from a leftist organization called the National Vote at Home Institute. They used micro-targeting. Now, think about campaigns. Campaigns are very, very sophisticated in reaching the voters they want to reach and turning those voters out and persuading them. That's good for campaigns to do. It's okay for the private sector to do, but government should not do that, because that means government is targeting certain voters who they anticipate will vote a certain way to get them to vote, and not targeting others. But that's exactly what they did in Green Bay, in Racine, in all of these urban core cities. They used campaign tactics, government did, to select people they wanted at the polls and then went after them. That's not the role of a state. So now we have legislatures that are concerned. You have a judge-ordered audit in Georgia. You have a Senate audit by the Arizona Senate taking place in Arizona. You have Pennsylvania that is considering a legislative audit. These things should happen. Now, I will say this. One, it's happening too late. Legislatures needed to be involved from the beginning. And secondly, the look needs to be broader than these audits are. Most election audits do not identify the fraud or the why and how of the fraud. I believe we're going to come out of these audits with more questions, not answers. But the American people deserve answers to those questions. And I hope eventually those election officials who ran those elections would be willing to open up and let us in that counting room like they let Mark Zuckerberg in the counting room.
So I just want everyone to understand, Phil Klein has been on this from the very beginning. By the beginning, I mean right after the election. And you've been on a couple times, Phil. We have listeners that listen and they come and they go, and some might remember you and others are just hearing you for the first time. This has taken perseverance and grit to continue on this topic. So let's focus on the Zuckerberg piece. And then I want to get into the audits, the Pennsylvania audit, the Georgia audit. What is an audit? People ask me that. And I have a pretty good answer, but not a complete answer. So maybe, Phil, you can actually answer my question as well, because some people think it's recounting every ballot. Some people think it's checking the voter registration rolls. I think it's actually closer to a sample size and then modeling off of it. But we'll get to that in a second. Have we done anything to prevent Zuckerberg or some oligarch from coming in with $400 million again? Has anything been done to date to prevent the Center for Technology and Civic Life from interfering with our elections?
Well, a couple of states have. Arizona passed a pretty good law, and Florida passed a pretty good law prohibiting private monies in the election, as they should. But other states have failed. They have actually codified what Zuckerberg did. And I don't think they did that intentionally. They just weren't fully familiar with what happened. What Zuckerberg did is he gave all of this money to a nonprofit. And he gave over $400 million, $350 million to one group, and then there was another group. There are 10 nonprofits on the left that actually ran the election, this past election, in those swing states. And they did it to benefit Joe Biden. Georgia, for example, Zuckerberg gave the money to a charity, which then bypassed the state legislature, which has the responsibility under the Constitution. And Charlie, one of our most fundamental precepts of the law in America and in the West has been equal treatment before the law. It's called equal protection. Nobody's above or below the law. That was a significant change that the United States brought about at its founding and has been struggling to achieve over the past 200 years. Well, this election treated people differently under the law. It treated those in the urban core. The government got engaged with that money and turned out that voter, and they made it very difficult to vote in Republican strongholds, shutting down in-person polling places because of COVID. They should not have done that. So the Zuckerberg money got in and violated equal protection. It got government to put its thumb on the scale in an election, and that fundamentally is flawed, fundamentally harmful. Government's done it in the past with a racist motivation. At the turn of the 20th century, the Democrat Party of the Deep South tried to turn out the white vote, suppress the black vote. This time around with Zuckerberg money, they tried to suppress Republican votes, turn out the Democrat votes. That's not government's job. Shouldn't be doing it. So Georgia stepped in and they passed a law that said nobody can take private money unless it's appropriated by the city or the county or the state legislature. But guess what? Zuckerberg gave the money to the city or the county. So that law is flawed. Georgia failed as it relates to private money. Arizona, Florida, other states seem to be taking a more serious look at it. And hopefully we can fix Georgia going forward before the next election. But right now, no. Zuckerberg is already back in to Georgia and trying to influence future elections.
You've heard it said, there are only two sure things in life, death and taxes. Well, now there's a third. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, switching to PureTalk will save you a lot of money. In fact, PureTalk saves the average family of four over $800 a year. And here's the best part. You don't have to sacrifice coverage because it's on the exact same network as one of those providers. Friends, switching is so easy. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. Right now, you can get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. Just one of the many reasons they've been named the top wireless provider by Consumer Affairs. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250 and say Charlie Kirk. So tell us what a audit is, Phil.
Well, it varies. It varies from state to state.
Well, let's start with Arizona. That's the one in the news.
Okay. Arizona has got a group that is looking at the ballots, doing a hand recount of the ballots. They were going to also check with voters to see if they voted, but were threatened by the Biden Justice Department that somehow that might violate civil rights laws, which it does not. You know, if I'm running for office, if you were running for office, you could go down and you could get the list of who's voted and who hasn't voted every day in advance of the election and contact those voters. That happens all the time. It's only a violation of civil rights if you intimidate. So certainly the audit should not be threatened and chilled in that fashion, but the Justice Department did it and the auditors backed off. Now, I'm hoping that they really do some comparison in signatures. I don't know if they'll compare signatures on the ballots. And that's vitally important because in this election, there's a couple of things. In every election, this is important. Chain of custody of the ballot. When the ballot leaves your hands, you don't know who's casting it. You don't know if it was cast by an actual registered voter. You don't know if they were intimidated, coerced, or in any fashion misled in the vote. When a person votes at the polling place, we have trained election officials to do that. That's why fraud occurs with absentee ballots. Now, the left mailed these absentee ballots to everybody. And the ballots were laying on sidewalks in Nevada. The ballots were mailed to old addresses. So one of the only ways that you can make sure that it's the actual voter that cast that vote and not somebody else, or that they weren't intimidated, is you have a signature on it and you have a witness in some states. And then you compare that signature to a signature on file. These audits are limited. I don't think they're really doing that comparison. I'll try to get to the bottom of that. That is a problem. But they are hand recounting. They are looking at the paper of these ballots to make sure, for example, that if they were mailed or put in the envelope, that there's a fold in them, that they weren't printed by machine, and that they were legitimately hand completed. That's important to look at because there have been allegations and affidavits that indicate that they might have been fraudulent ballots that were printed out or not mailed in so that they were not folded. So those types of things are taking place. They're also taking a little bit of a look at the machine and some chain of custody issues. In Georgia, we got some of the same thing. But we do know this already in Georgia. There has been an effort to obtain, you remember the drop boxes, by the way, and America has never had broad elections by drop boxes. I call them Zucker boxes. He paid for them. They dropped them on every street corner where there were Democrats. They were very, very rare in Republican areas. But this chain of custody, they promised that you would have a Republican and a Democrat pick up these ballots. Because, for example, if you have Johnny Young Republican picking up ballots in a Democrat stronghold, he just might lose some on the way to the polling place. Same thing might happen with a Democrat. So you put them together. That's one of the fundamentals of United States elections, that a Republican and a Democrat are both handling ballots. If you don't do that, you violate a basic tenet of fairness. And this was violated right and left. But they promised that they would do that. They promised that they would have video. They promised that they would keep logs. They promised that the ballots would be delivered immediately to the counting center. Guess what? That hasn't been delivered. All of those promises have been broken. Video's not there. The chain of custody is broken. Ballots weren't delivered. There weren't people from both parties present. All of the rules were broken as it relates to these ballots. So therefore, we have to scrutinize and demand why and who was involved and talk to those people. And they're not letting us do that. They are not letting that take place in these audits to date. Additionally, something else has been learned, and it was actually admitted to in Arizona. These machines, we started going to machines after Bush v. Gore. You might remember, Charlie, I think you're old enough to remember Bush v. Gore. Some of your viewers might not be, but that was really tight in Florida, and we had punch card technology where you vote, and they were debating whether a card that had a dimple in it really meant the voter wanted to vote for that person, or does the Chad have to fall all the way out, or can it be hanging? Well, the thing about that is we were in the counting room. We could see the ballots. We could debate whether that was a real vote or not. This time we weren't. And we went to machines that count the vote that we can't see inside the machine how it's doing the counting. The only way, if you know if those machines are operating in a valid manner, is if you have access to the computer logs and do an audit. Those computer logs, under the contracts entered into by these states, are the proprietary property of the vendor, and we don't have a right to see it, and that is wrong. That's like hiring somebody to count your vote, putting them in a dark room, not letting anybody speak to them or meet them, and then saying, America, trust this person's going to do the right job. That's absurd. That by itself should be a national controversy. And just recently, the Arizona Maricopa County officials admitted they don't have the right to demand these logs from the vendor themselves. That's wrong. That we need to take care of. So that's some of the story that's going on. The other thing that's developing is this, and the mainstream media will play this differently. Voter registration drives are a good thing, but here's how they generally occur. Either your local election clerk shows up someplace and does all that, they have access to all the data, they can verify who you are, they have the forms, they will enter you into the computer, and they're trained to do so. They're also elected officials. They're responsible for one county, so it's easy for us to know if they're doing a good job. They are subject to open records requests, so we can see all they're doing, and they can be fired the next election. What happened in blue states is they gave that access to leftist organizations for the first time in U.S. history in what's called data sharing agreements. They went to Rock the Vote, who then turned out another 70 or 80 leftist organizations, allowing them to directly access our poll books through thousands of people who are untrained, and we have no idea how they verified identity or whether these persons that they registered were actually correct. I know this from my career in law enforcement. I could take a day, I can learn your date of birth, your social security number, whether you've ever changed your name, wherever you've lived, if you were a woman, when you got married, what name you went by after you got married and before you got married. In other words, I could find everything I wanted about you to create you into any database that I wanted to create you into. America was not hacked from without this election. We were hacked from within, with tens of thousands of people having access to our poll books. Nobody is auditing that. Nobody is reviewing that thus far. And our lawsuits and the things that we're doing are trying to get to the bottom of that.
So, Phil, let's just talk realistically as far as what you think we're going to be able to uncover and the things we may suspect, but we may never know. I ask you that question intentionally because I think some people are getting the hopes up of our voters that we're going to have this massive reveal in the coming months and Donald Trump will get reinaugurated. Is there any chance of that?
No, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Look, to prove what happened in the 2020 election, you know, our belief is that there was an intentional effort by billionaires and the left to alter or defy state election rules to benefit Mr. Biden and to use government to do it. Now, I believe that we can develop enough circumstantial evidence to prove that there was a design and a plan to do that. If that evidence is developed, you're looking at potential campaign finance violations and violations of law, but you're not overturning the current election result. You are preventing it from happening again. And as that investigation and effort moves forward, it could wrap in others who could have been part of this scheme. Now, we're far from that. You know, it takes a long time to get to the bottom of this type of organized effort. And I'm afraid that what we do is we get a trinket of evidence and we hold a news conference and we raise money on it before we develop it and understand it. And if I'm investigating you, Charlie, the last person I really want you to know that I'm investigating you is you. You know, I want to move around the circles. I want to develop the evidence further. And generally, we don't do that in the media. Generally, we do that on the ground, so to speak, and develop the evidence. So do I believe the election will be overturned? No, I don't see a procedure to do that. Do I believe that currently the election and the results we can have faith in? No, I don't believe so. Do I believe we're going to have future elections in which the American people lose faith? Yes, unless we understand what happened here. And that's what we're trying to do, is understand this one so we can stop it from happening again.
I think it's the most important fight. Can you walk us through, the best of your ability, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and the differences between all the states? And then also, what can somebody do listening to this right now? What can they do to help? Because they feel so helpless.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, what's remarkable about Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, is the similarity. The similarity is the flow of Zuckerberg money. The similarity was the consolidated counting centers. The similarity was treating Republican areas differently than Democrat areas. The similarities are doing special events, ballot harvesters, professionals going out and picking up ballots, drop boxes every street corner in Democrat strongholds, and making it a Where's Waldo weekend retreat to try to find a voting place in rural Republican areas. The similarity is blue state governors shutting down in-person polling as they are mailing absentee ballots to everybody and then inviting in this private money in the urban core to spend more money to turn out Biden voters. Those are all similarities that show a common scheme, common funding, common plan, and a two-tiered election system, a shadow government that ran the election to benefit Mr. Biden and to harm the Republican candidate. That's what we know. That's what we see in all these areas. And what your viewers might not know is in these counting centers, this is important. I'm going to give one example, but it happened in each one of these areas in a same general effort, but a different slight form under state law. Let's just take Michigan, Detroit. The Secretary of State mailed out all of the military absentee ballots on the wrong paper. What I mean by that is when those ballots came in from overseas and they were laid into the optical scanners that's supposed to count the vote, the paper crumpled, so the machine couldn't count. So by Michigan law, here's what they do. They take all of those ballots, military ballots, they put them on a desk. And then they get new ballots, pristine, next to them. And these election officials then complete the ballot by transposing the vote over to a new ballot and casting it. So they're actually casting ballots for people who aren't there. Now, the law very clearly in all these states says you got a Republican and a Democrat at the table looking this over. They have to both sign it. That's the way to do it fairly. That's the only way to make sure it's done right. Otherwise, I could easily call a Trump vote a Biden vote and vice versa. In Detroit, no Republicans.
Wow.
No Republicans. Now, they claim they couldn't find any in a city that had over 300,000 Republicans and a city in which Trump did better in 2020 than any Republican candidate in years. And they claim, and plus we have a list of pages of people who tried to volunteer, they wouldn't let them in. So it was only Democrat officials that were doing it. We have affidavits saying that they were told to do it a certain way. We have affidavits about the fraud inside that system. Nobody is auditing that. Nobody is taking a look at that. Those are the types of things that are out there that the American people deserve answers for, that we've got to get to the bottom of. And the mainstream media better start supporting it. It's quite fascinating, Charlie. You go back to 2015, look up machines, just Google machines glitch elections. You'll get hundreds of Googles and you'll see the left complaining about how our elections were run. You'll see many of the people who are saying, don't take a look now, said our election system is flawed back then. What you've got is this Trump hatred bias by the media that they refuse to be rational about this. These elections need to be investigated thoroughly and completely. And we need to hold the people accountable who injected such doubt in the 2020 election.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kia, and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need on a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine, control modules, and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Charlie Kirk in there, "How'd you hear about us?" section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
I totally agree, Phil. So what can the average person do? Can they just keep pressure on their legislators? Because we got a lot of excuses, Phil. I mean, I got an article here. Governor Ducey vetoes 22 bills, including voter reform bills. How is this happening?
Yeah, here's something that I think many of us forget. We get all enamored with the national television. We see people on Fox News and so forth, and we think that's where the main game is. No, the main game is your neighborhood. The main game is your block. The main game is knowing your district attorney, knowing your state legislator, and insisting that they do the right thing. That's where the greatest power is vested. I remember when I was attorney general and then I became a district attorney. Let me put it this way. People run to Congress all the time for things. A congressman, I was a state legislator. As a state legislator, all of my ideas didn't mean a darn thing. Until I got in Kansas, it was 63 votes in the House. I got 21 votes in the Senate, and I had a governor's signature, or I had to get 84 votes in the House and 27 in the Senate. Same thing with Congress. Their ideas don't mean anything unless they get a majority or a supermajority. Your district attorney decides. They decide whether to do the right thing or not. If there is evidence of fraud, they decide whether to investigate or not. Yet most people don't know their district attorney. Get involved at the local level. Go by your state rep's house. Get to know your state representative. You can keep track of what they do. Hold them accountable. What failed in this election is Republican leadership in state legislatures, and they refused to take a look at the election. Some of the rank and file wanted to, but a lot of Republican leaders did not. It's because they were wrestling ghosts. They think, look, if somebody gets caught in a scandal and somebody else dies in a plane wreck and my polling numbers are good and I'm not controversial, I can become emperor. That has to stop. We need to hold people accountable. And the only way you're going to do that is to get engaged. And believe me, a lot of these folks are afraid of you. If you start to get engaged, they'll start listening. So get engaged. One way you can get engaged is to go to got-freedom.org. That's an organization we started. My daughter founded it. And they are about ready to launch, by the way. We have helped seed election integrity groups in numerous states. And we can network you into an election integrity group within your state that will train you on how to watch the election, what the primary issues are, what legislation is good, what legislation is bad. And I'm hoping that it'll be launched here in the next month, but monitor got-freedom.org or .com, got-freedom.com. Watch for that. And Charlie, we'd love to work with you on that as well, if you guys have an interest, but we certainly are working to train up the grassroots on election integrity.
Well, I'm going to just reiterate that. You said it's got-freedom.com, got-freedom.com.
Yes, got-freedom, or either way, I think, gets you there.
And everyone should check it out and go there. It's a nice website. And look, here's the thing, and we know this is happening. We know that people are losing faith in our systems, and this should be a bipartisan endeavor, but it isn't. Instead, this has become the activist media is basically going all in to want to govern the country through broken elections. And they'd say, you know what? As long as we benefit from this, then we're going to stay in power. And it's on this website, got-freedom.org. It shows state by state what's happening. And so you just click on Georgia. It says kind of action items and the updates and all of that. And it shows here that on your website that Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan donate $100 million more to election administrators. It's unbelievable how this is possible.
Yeah, and it just goes going on and on, on and on. And, you know, if you want to get engaged, here's what I've always thought about America. Our greatest strength is we get what we want, and our greatest weakness is we get what we want. So, you know, if you engage, you really can make a difference. There's still an opportunity, and we need boldness and we need courage. You know, the dominant emotion in America over the past year and a half has been fear of COVID, fear generated by election or by government officials threatening you with jail if you don't do the right thing. All of that. We've got to rise above the fear and restore our basic freedoms and faith in our elections. And it takes your voice. It really does.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for the great work you are doing. Anything else you wanted to cover in particular, anything that you guys are fighting for or ways that we can support you?
Well, just know that investigations take time, and the left is wrong in claiming we can't start an investigation unless you have proof of fraud. That's an absurdity. You've got to investigate. We have questions. They're legitimate questions. They're trying to hide the ball and prevent the answers. That's wrong. America deserves answers. It's that simple right now. Raise your voice. Demand answers to these questions. A full-scale investigation, not these limited audits. Limited audits only validate the fraud. They don't get at the truth. So thank you, Charlie. I appreciate all you're doing. Congratulations on your leadership and the communication platform you have to America. You're making a difference. It's always an honor to be on your show, sir.
Well, very good. Well, thank you so much, Phil, and keep up the great work. It's got-freedom.com. Check it out, everybody, and stay on the case. We got your back. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.